There we go.
Can listeners hear us?
Gage?
Hello, Bryant.
I'm going to turn our mic up just a little bit.
Yeah, it's a long time coming.
Can you scoot it back?
Mm-hmm, I've always wanted one.
The day is finally here.
It really matches your eyes.
Yeah. Me here in my office.
We could probably cut that out.
We are recording a podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in and listening or watching, whatever you're doing. We're going to be releasing on both, but this was originally the Salem First Young Adults podcast. Our new name is
Voice in the Wilderness.
And we are going to talk about theology. We are young adults, so we're gearing it toward young adults. And this is really just going to be what God's showing us and what we're learning. I am 1 year into a 2-year master's degree program in biblical theology. And so I'm learning a ton. It's like a fire hydrant. I'm honestly overwhelmed with the amount of stuff I'm learning. And I can speak for Gage a little bit. You're just hungry to know more about God and to learn as much as you can and to really own your faith in that way. So I think we're going to be a good pair.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think Brian's being a little, he's quite intelligent. He knows quite a lot. Yes. Every question I come to the table, he knows exactly what I'm talking about, has 3 or 4 different resources or sources to pull from.
Well, what about like book smarts versus street smarts, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm only 27 years old, you know, like, I mean, how many street smarts can I really have compared to like some theologian in their 50s who's been studying for many, many years, right?
Yeah, so, but they're boring.
Apples and oranges, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah.
But just so you can get to know us a little bit, my name's Bryant. I'm the young adult pastor here at Salem First Nazarene, where we are recording from, based in Salem, Oregon. And I have been here for 3 years. I grew up in McMinnville, just north. I love to spend as much time in the outdoors as possible, whether it's hunting or fishing, but I also love the Lord and studying scripture, studying theology, learning as much as I can about him. And so that's why I'm here. Gage?
Well, my name is Gage. I have been attending this church for about 3 years now, a little bit off and on because of school. School took me away physically from this church. The reason I started coming here is my now fiance, when we started dating, I started coming with her family to this church, and I just kind of fell in love with it. Culturally background, my family is very Catholic, especially on my dad's side. So kind of grew up in the Catholic faith. I would say it was more culturally Christian. But you know, I did the first communion, first confession, all those types of things. But then as I got older, it was a little bit less involved. So I always had that Christian foundation. Didn't really know how to own my faith. I think that was always something I really struggled with. So when I came here and kind of got engrossed in the community, I fell in love with it, made friends. I mean, half my wedding party now is people I've met here in the last 3 years. And I just absolutely love it. And but more about me, I just graduated with my master's in business. So nothing revolving around theology or Christianity.
But you put in the work.
I try to, absolutely. I currently work at a company named Daimler Trucks. I do supply chain for them right now. And I would say my second job right now is wedding planning and learning as much as I can about the Lord and everything that comes along with that.
Yeah. I love it. I love it, man. Mm-hmm. So on this podcast, we are going to mostly talk about theology. I mean, that's what we're basing it around, is really trying to, from our young adult perspective and from our studies, interpret theological statements and explain why we believe what we believe as Christians and how we've come to those conclusions, whether it's biblical theology and studying scripture or systematic theology, which is coming to systematic conclusions about theological concepts that are not necessarily found in scripture. You can't like find a verse that explicitly says that we have a triune God of three parts, but systematically we can infer that the only possible way for God to exist is in three parts, you know, and it has implications on our salvation. We'll find that with a lot of theological statements. And the reason why they're important for us to understand is because it kind of boils down to the identity of Jesus. A lot of the heresies that we saw in the early church that are raising their head in our day and age, which is another reason we want to confront those heresies and things that people believe that are incorrect about Jesus, but they all kind of boil down to the identity of Christ. And if we change the identity of Christ, unfortunately, our salvation is no longer possible. So that's why these are all really important to understand, and that's what we're going to be talking about on this podcast. Also, things that we're learning about currently that are just interesting to us about God and about faith and about Christianity.
Absolutely. And that's why he gets the big bucks, because I couldn't have put that more gracefully and in a more theological bend. No, I this is a whole wide world of theology, and we're talking about 2,000 years of, like, yeah, all the way from the early church to now, of a lot of really cool and interesting things that some of your pretty staunch Christians don't really know about. And especially in our culture, as more polarized as we get, whether that's secularism or even agnosticism to your full-blown Christians, it's becoming extremely polarized. So I think as of right now and going forward, it is so important that we are armed to the teeth, load up our, the bullets with as much evangelistic, apologetic knowledge that we possibly can.
Yeah, and I want to add on to that too. Like, that's one huge reason why it's important to study theology and study your faith and really own it and have a hunger for God. And then on the other side of that, though, there's a lot of Christians today, especially our peers, young adults, who haven't studied or really thought about God too much. Or when you say the word theology, they cringe, and they're not interested in it. But here's, at the end of the day, everybody is a theologian. The question is whether or not you have good theology. So even someone who hates God, doesn't want anything to do with the church, a staunch atheist, they're still a theologian. All that theology is the study of God, teachings of God, understanding of God, anything that revolves around God. And as human beings, we can't escape the concept of either embracing the idea of a God and loving God, or rejecting a God completely. But no matter what, no matter where you are on the scale of Christian to non-Christian, to cultural Christian or casual Christian, to very intense, serious Christian, everyone along that spectrum is a theologian in the sense that they have thoughts about God. So it's really important for us then to make sure that we have the right thoughts about God. And that's why we study it, because the bar's pretty low on what it takes to think about God. But there is a correct path to take in that thinking. And so we want to make it consumable and easy to understand and conversational and fun. Maybe a little bit funny. I don't know.
We'll try.
We'll try. Well, maybe we shouldn't try, though. Whenever you try to be funny, it's not very funny. No offense.
Yeah, I totally hear you.
That's a lesson I had to learn the hard way. Yeah. Being the class clown, getting kicked out of class and all that,
Yeah, yeah. He's had a couple of questionable moments in our group settings.
Yeah, I don't have a very good filter, I think I hit my head too many times when I was growing up, and it just comes right out, whatever I'm thinking. And
it breaks the ice, though, I do have to say. Because I feel much more comfortable now.
Eases the tension.
Yeah.
I mean, just depending on whether or not we keep the beginning of this podcast in or not, you will know what we're talking about.
Yeah. But probably not. Yeah. Probably not. But that might be a bloopers episode. Mm-hmm. To what you were talking about, I kind of approach this and I don't want to bring up a bunch of different people's names, but other people that you probably watch on podcasts, a very secular podcast, but Joe Rogan, I think he does it super well. He approaches everything with the Neanderthal approach, I call this. I don't know anything. I'm just going to listen intently, ask stupid questions. Because I think that's why Brian's here. He's gonna answer all my stupid questions, and make it very palatable for you guys. Because when I first started, like I would say 2 years ago, when I really started to dive into this, I'm 25, by the way. I'm turning 26 this summer. I didn't really know anything. I didn't really understand some of these terminologies, and it's because there's some really funky words that are honestly kind of made up by the church to represent something. So we may want to make it palatable for you guys. If there's ever any questions, we'll answer them in the comments for all.
Leave
of
a
our
comment members. Below.
Yeah, leave
like
a comment
and subscribe.
Below.
Drop us a DM.
Yeah, please share on all your socials, of course.
Join our Patreon at doesnotexist.com.
Yes, we want your money, not really. So yeah, that's kind of how I'm approaching this situation.
Yeah, and I mean, to that point as well, like, I do not feel as though I have a complete grasp on everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be really important for me as a lifelong learner. Because the moment you come to a place where you feel like you know it all and you're not willing to listen to any other point of view, or you're not willing to look into any other point of view, you really become stagnant, you know?
It's also dangerous. I think that's extremely dangerous because you could start, you're talking from a point of authority,
mm-hmm.
and that's led a lot of churches, people, individuals, families down a very dark path.
Yeah, and that's why I want to be a lifelong learner and keep my hands open. And also always trusting that there's more of God. And this is one thing for me when it comes to studying God, is I never grow tired of it. Even though God is limitless and endless, and we will study for our whole lives and we'll never grasp all of him, some people might hear that and become overwhelmed and think, oh, but I don't really want to take that on. I already have too much going on in life. But think about it. We're promised an eternity with God as God's children, as God's people. Like, that's what salvation is we're saved. We can have a relationship with God that lasts for eternity.
Pretty cool.
We'll always be learning about God, even after this life. Like, this life of studying and learning about God is practice for an eternity of studying and learning about God and living with God in perfect communion. Like, it's an amazing concept, but to me, it just lights a little bit of a fire of like, yeah, I want to study God, but I also know that I will never have all of God. Yeah. But I see that as a good thing. It makes me excited. Like, I'll never run out. The road will never end, never come to a dead end. There's always something more to learn about God. And that really, when I realized that, really encouraged me on my studies instead of becoming overwhelmed by the vastness of it or getting bored by the repetition of it, realizing there's always more. I'll never grow bored. It's unlimited. It's unending.
Well, think about when you pick up a new hobby or a sport or whatever. If you come to a point where you feel like you know everything or you have mastered a certain thing, how exciting is that? You know, you might become the expert in that, but there's nothing. There's nothing more.
Mm-hmm. Everything on this earth has an end except mm-hmm. God. And the other thing, too, that we're going to make sure to never do is talk over people's heads.
Yeah.
Whether we're using like a Greek word or a Hebrew word or some theological term, you know, and we don't want to just throw those out there with the expectation that everyone knows what that word means, you know.
So if we do use those, we will explain them we'll and explain try not them. To use them a
yep.
whole bunch.
Yep.
Because neither of us know Greek or Hebrew.
Nope.
Yeah, just to make that very clear. I know English and if you looked at my high school transcripts, maybe Spanish, but I don't really know so much Spanish.
Yeah, I took a Spanish class in high school that I failed. So then I took a German class in order to, like, you know, get the language credit. Then at Chemeketa, when I graduated, Chemeketa College, I took another Spanish class, which I failed.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I've failed two Spanish classes. But
yeah, that's a double negative.
So, you know, mm-hmm. yeah. Now that we've kind of covered what this podcast is, what we're going to talk about, Gage and I just want to share a look into our testimonies and how we came to faith. And I mean, Gage has already dropped some hints on that,
yep.
but Gage, you want to give a more clear rundown of how you got to where you are?
Yeah. So I, you know, this isn't some crazy story where I had a personal encounter with God and stuff. I think this is more of probably your typical Christian's walk of faith. Like I mentioned, I grew up Catholic. My family's very Catholic. And I just grew up in it. And that was always the norm. Going to Mass on Sundays, especially when I was younger, going to Sunday schools, learning about communion and first confession, going to all those little singing things and going to the Christmas Mass and singing at those and giving Bible verses. But as I got older, sports definitely became a dominant driver in my life, especially hockey at the time when I was a little kid, because I don't know if you listeners know, when you're playing hockey, especially around here in the Portland, Metro, Oregon area, you have to get up early, you go stay out late. It's very involved. So I give a lot of credit to my parents for keeping me in that, because that taught me a lot of good lessons. But in terms of my walk of faith, that definitely took me away from the church. You know, I was little, but as I got older, it's always something that has been a part of me. I've always been a Christian. I definitely wouldn't say I like to talk about it, especially in high school, early college. But I always had that in the back of my mind. And so going through high school wasn't really a part of not like Young Life or any type of church. In college, though, my freshman year of college, I went to go play some baseball at a local D3 here named George Fox. And I got a dose of it, right? But it was a culture shock. And going from Mass to a Christian worship setting was a huge shocker to me, especially with the culture. Mm. And so it really threw me for a loop and kind of made me question, oh, what's this whole Catholic thing all about? You know, I had one other Catholic friend at the college, and he was definitely a little on the spectrum, but in a very good way, because he knew everything. You talk about somebody that needs a podcast, this guy definitely did. But he was a great guy, and so he was a staunch Catholic, loved him to death, but he kind of kept me in the Catholic world and ended up leaving that college after that year. So I didn't get too much exposure over that year. And then I met my now fiance, Paige, and I started coming here, and it really kind of, because when you come here, and Paige is very entrenched in her faith, and so is her family is very involved with the church. Her dad is a board member. And so he was a fantastic resource, and just asking, willing to have those deep conversations, those hard conversations, a lot of questions I had. Bryant, you were also one of those people that answered a lot of those questions very gracefully too. Mm. So it kind of catapulted me into my studies of this. And now I would say I went from a very novice, cultural Christian, believed in Jesus, didn't really know what that meant, to now I'm all in. I'm absolutely all in. I'm obsessed with it. I'm on fire for it. I go to work, I listen to podcasts, trying to take in as much information. I'm very auditory. That's why this platform I think is fantastic for myself,
rather than reading. Yeah
absolutely. So which
I'm more the reader, even though I listen to hours of podcast every week, but
yeah. Well, you kind of have to with your schooling.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I had to do a lot of reading, in both my undergrad and graduate programs that I just finished up. Thank God.
Yeah.
So,
and for you and your story from Catholic to Protestant, it wasn't like an overnight transition, because, I remember when I first met you, you still, claimed the title Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You still embraced that, and even though you were studying and seeking and trying to understand what makes the most sense theologically, how has God told us to live out our faith, you know, you were in that wrestle, but you still were a Catholic, at least in name.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like that transition always happens overnight, you know. Yeah. One thing after another, like the amount of time you just described was several years of studying.
Oh yeah.
Before you made the decision to make this your home church. And
yeah, that's a good point. And I also want to be clear, I'll give a lot of props to my both my parents and my other family, because without them I wouldn't have had that Christian foundation, which is ultimately important. I want to make that very clear. It doesn't matter if you're listening and you kind of find yourself in a similar situation to where you kind of grew up Christian, kind of didn't, it's okay. That's totally fine. Your parents did a fantastic job of at least introducing who Christ is.
Yeah.
Right. Now it's, you know, we're adults now, young adults,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
We have to take that on our own, especially if you're a young man, or a young woman wanting to lead their family, whether if you're a single mom or you're a single dad, you got to lead your family.
Yeah.
Into at least getting them into a church setting, community setting, that is something I did not expect to enjoy as much as I have at this church. And I'm sure you can probably say the same. The community aspect of a church is so awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And that in itself, being around other Christians, especially with like, because you got two kiddos, which has definitely warmed my heart and Paige's hearts to kids.
Yeah.
You really see the beauty of God, and you see God working actively in your life.
Mm.
And so I definitely encourage all of you, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at in your faith, to just take that next step. Take it as your own. Own it and seek, you know.
Yeah. Keep seeking. There's always more of God.
Yeah.
Always.
How about
more.
You, Brian? Talk about your faith. Well, your walk.
Real quick, I wanted to say on that too, I love my Catholic brothers and sisters. This isn't going to be some podcast where we dissect Catholic theology.
As much as I would love to.
It might come up a lot because Gage grew up in that and has an understanding. I have Catholic friends. And so, on a lot of the major things, we agree.
Yeah.
But then I'm also not going to pretend there's not a lot of things that we disagree on. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about those differences. Also, Orthodox, another big wing of Christianity separate from Protestantism and Catholicism. You know, we'll look at these different avenues of theology, because contrast is what really helps us understand what we believe. You know, we grow up being taught one thing, and that's kind of like our baseline, what we believe. But then when we see the contrast of what others believe, it really illuminates. Illuminates? What's that? That sounds
not
like
hallucination.
The glow-in-the-dark gorilla. It really illuminates our belief, our theology, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, the concept of grace, mm-hmm. I always understood it. I knew it was vital to Protestant theology. I didn't understand how it was different than, like, for example, to keep picking on the Catholics, like, okay, geez. Is the Catholic view of grace is completely different than the Protestant view of grace. And it's such a vitally important concept. But until I studied the Catholic view of grace, I didn't even fully understand my own view of grace.
Mm-hmm.
After going through a bachelor's program for ministry, reading books, growing up in the church, it took that contrast for me to understand it. And so, you know, that's why we'll look at Catholicism, Orthodoxy, even cults, you know, different belief systems to help us illuminate what we believe as we categorize ourselves as evangelical Protestant Christians.
Little hint at our next video.
yep.
We're
going to talk about the cults.
Yeah.
There's lots of cults. If you're interested in cults,
stay tuned.
That's right. So I'll share my testimony real quick. I grew up in the church, like Gage. Grew up with parents who were fairly involved, always brought me to church. When I became old enough to take myself to church, I still did. It was always a part of my life. Like as a youth, I was involved in youth group and all that. But I can't say I didn't truly believe it, because I did. But there was this longing in my heart for sin. Mm. And, you know, God will give us the desires of our hearts. So we know that's just like, if that's what we truly desire, if that's what we're going to feed, right? It goes to that silly illustration of like, there's two wolves.
Two wolves. Who are you going to feed?
And they're both named Toby. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that.
It's pretty hilarious. All right. If you understand that reference.
Drop a comment.
Drop a comment. I hate saying that kind of
thing. Yeah, me too.
I'm like, let's turn the comments off for this video.
Yeah, let's turn it off.
So anyway.
Made fun of.
In that journey, I began to also be very influenced by my friends. I was hanging out with friends who always talked about sex and smoked weed and partying, and I fell into that. I luckily avoided having sex throughout all that, but I did used to smoke weed and party and drink and do that kind of stuff. And then I was kind of living a double life, still going to youth group. So it wasn't until I was a young adult, I was working on a farm. So what that means is you get 16 hours a day from sunup to beyond sundown to sit by yourself in a tractor cab. And now, come on, it was the 21st century, all right? I had air conditioning. I was listening to podcasts for all 16, you know, listening. But there was times where you just turn off the radio and you just sit there in silence and you think. And we call that windshield time. That's farmer lingo, you know, for deep reflection. And so I was having some windshield time reflection, and suddenly I felt God speaking to me. But it wasn't an audible voice. Like, I know people who have that experience where they literally hear the audible voice of God. For me, I just felt deep in my spirit that the Holy Spirit was speaking. So the first question that I heard was, do you believe that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth? And I thought to myself, yeah, I believe that. Uh-huh.
What a very mm-hmm. basic question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then there's a following question. Do you believe that so the language changed in what I was hearing. Do you believe that I sent my son to die for you? And I thought, yeah, I do believe that. Honestly, I believe that happened.
It's interesting that you point out the language change.
Yeah, that always stuck with me. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
And then the last question, this is the one that changed my life. This is the one that really floored me, was, why aren't you living like it? And of course, it's a rhetorical question. There's no answer to that. But suddenly I'm breaking down by myself in the middle of a field. I still know exactly what field it was. I drive past it sometimes. I'm like, that's the field where I met God.
Had an encounter with God.
And really that marked the beginning. Even if it wasn't that moment when I was like truly born again, it definitely marked the beginning of extreme growth. Like, I love seeing the season that Gage is in, because I remember that season so clearly when I was 18 years old. And I was just graduated, and I was being an idiot and making stupid choices just because I was bored. Here's a lesson to take away. Bored people do stupid things. So keep yourself busy. But anyway, I was not really living for God. But then after that, I started getting really involved in a local college ministry startup. And so you can say that's when I started doing ministry, if you want. Not paid, of course, but I quickly was leading the leadership team of that ministry and sensed a strong call to vocational ministry. And it all kickstarted with that moment in the middle of a field and me just answering God's call. Simple.
Yeah, I didn't have that moment. It's not as cool with my story, of course.
Dude, I think that your story is amazing. That
I appreciate
from where you grew up in that, and, you know, like I said, this isn't a podcast. We're not going to bash Catholics. I love my Catholic friends, and they have such strong conviction for what they believe. I'm not speaking down about that. But the people who I know that grew up Catholic, they identify by Catholicism more than they identify by being a Christian, you know?
Yes.
And so seeing you come out of that, and you're so on fire for Jesus and for ministry and for learning about God and for spreading the gospel— You have your sauna talks.
My sauna talks. So we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But Gage goes to the sauna at the gym and just, you know, talks to people, and it always becomes theological in nature. But, you know, I still, even though the season looks different for me, I still see myself in that season of like everything's new and exciting and I'm passionate, you know, but you have to intentionally continue to pursue God.
Yes.
Like in the moment when you first accept God's call, I'm not saying, and for some people this lines up to the moment they first become a Christian, but for a lot of people, they become a Christian, and people who grew up in the church especially, there's like a being born again moment when like
they can mark the date, where they're at, what it smelt like, you know, everything.
Pentecostal Christians will align that with spirit baptism. Which, and then we're Nazarene Christians. I guess we didn't mention that.
Yep.
And so the Wesleyan holiness movement, which we'll get into all of that beautiful, interesting historical theology stuff.
Great stuff.
But we believe in a born again moment where you are set on fire for God. That takes you accepting that, you know? Yep. And so like for Gage and I, if you're desiring that for your life, God's always calling. God's always asking. For me, I'm so beyond blessed and lucky. I could never hear from God again in my life and be content, even though I know that won't happen. because of that moment I had with God in the field. Gage has chosen to pursue God and accept that being born again on fire for him just out of, I mean, it's still the Spirit calling you deeper.
You
didn't hear him speaking to you, but you still felt the personal draw into it.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe it's just the way my brain is kind of wired. I'm a pretty simple person. And like the way I think, and I like to break down things very simply because that's just how I like it. And that's how I understand it. So for me, I'm in the ultimate seeking of truth, right? And I feel like that's a big thing within my generation right now. Mm. Maybe people who are around my age, maybe a little bit younger. I definitely see it in kids who are 18 to 22, I would say.
Mm, yeah.
Like a drive to figure out what is true in life, especially.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I see a lot of people turning to Islam nowadays.
Yeah.
That's something it's so interesting. We'll talk about too. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we're talking about cults, we'll spend a whole episode talking about Islam.
Yeah. We could probably devote a whole episode for every sect, you know?
Yeah.
Mormonism,
yeah.
Catholicism.
Yeah, we'll definitely, in the cult one, we'll definitely give an overview.
Yeah. And I'm not lumping Catholicism into the cult language. I don't think they're
I don't
cults.
Think Catholicism or Orthodoxy would go into a cult
Absolutely
section.
Not.
Even though they would probably say that we are a cult. But
yeah,
that doesn't mean I'm going to, oh, well, no, you're a cult, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And when we talk about this stuff, it's not, I think it could be coming across like we're trying to bash on them.
Or we're judgmental.
Or we're judgmental.
What we talked about earlier. We don't feel like we have it all, you know? There's always more to learn.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, and to claim that you have it all, I think that's silly, too.
Yeah.
But I think while we're speaking into these different things is because it is so confusing out there in the world of Christianity, theology, and everything.
Yeah.
And we're not claiming to know everything, but we can provide some clarity, and especially from what we've learned, you know, for our listeners, and kind of actively discuss it between the two of us, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we're by no means bashing anybody. I love my Mormon friends. My best friend growing up is a Mormon, and his family. Been amazing to me. They're amazing people, right? But I do think their theology is severely flawed to the point of their salvation's in question, especially with Islam. And what I was saying about the truth-seeking is, a lot of people who are, I kind of feel like in my similar boat about trying to find the truth, end up in Islam because that's heavily pushed out there with Islam being like, oh, we're the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know everything, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, sorry. What were we going to say, Bryant, before that?
Just that was it. You know, just keep seeking God, and hopefully this can be an avenue, not the end-all be-all of truth and where you can gain. You know, it's important to be connected with a church physically in real life. I will never, ever encourage people to attend church online. And that's that might be offensive to some people because it has been a huge movement to attend church online. It is not a valid replacement. And we'll get into that someday on this show about the value of being a part of the church and the vitality of it. So that's an overview of my testimony, why we're doing it, what we're doing it. I think that about wraps up everything we wanted to cover on this first introductory episode, right?
Yeah. We have a lot of competition in this space when it comes to Christian podcasts, which is a great thing. The more people talking about Christ out there, the better. And we're not necessarily inherently competing. We just want a voice in this sect. We feel passionate about these topics.
Yeah.
We've had many of nights after our group settings where Bryant and I sit there and discuss topics.
Yep.
It's mostly me just sitting there asking questions and Bryant answering them.
I know. I got my own questions, man. But yeah. And not to mention, like, we're representing a subgroup of Christianity, where not only are we young adults, you know, but also we live in the spiritual armpit of America, and that is the Pacific Northwest, where no one here is churched, and the Christians are a lot of times, unfortunately, I'm going to sound really judgmental, not very effective in their faith as far as spreading the gospel and reaching their neighbors. But that comes with growing up in a culture that is generally against what we believe. And so, you know, we want to just be a voice in the wilderness calling out, and we'll see. Also, I mean, we have a young adult community here that meets in real life. We just had an awesome trivia night last night. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
But, you know, we do have events. We do have prayer nights. We do meet at church on Sunday mornings. And so, you know, there's lots of opportunities to do stuff in person. Hopefully this can augment your spiritual growth and development through addition to your involvement at a church, a local church.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you're in the... if you're in the Salem greater area, please come stop by Salem First Nazarene.
Yep.
I don't work here, so I don't have any affiliation. I just attend the
church.
But
if you have a home church, stay there.
Yes.
Get involved. Be active in your faith and in your church. But if you don't have a home church, our doors are open. We'd be excited to meet you.
Absolutely.
So thanks for giving us your time. Thanks for listening. This is Bryant signing out.
And Gage signing out.
All right.
See you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good. How long was that? Fun fact for our listeners, I know you know this. I am Native American partially. Yes. I could show you, I could put the card on the on our next episode just for proof for our listeners.
The proof.
So I turned a little red, a little brown.
Little red.
Yeah.
The red man.
Red man, yes.
That's we've started off on a very racist note on our first episode. But